Getting to know God is so vital that we continue to get to know Him. And many of us have been serving Him for many years. Some have just started on that path. But it's vital that we walk in that relationship with Him and really get to know who He is, what His heart is, what He has for our life. So, Pastor John, let's pray for him. Reach out your hand right now. Father, we give you glory. We give you thanks. And Lord, we know that, like in the scriptures, that young boy that came by with a little bit of bread and a couple fishes. And Lord, we thought, what was that? How's that going to feed a multitude? But Lord, when you bless something, it begins to multiply and it's satisfied and there's things that are left over. Now we pray, Lord, just like that young man, that you take the little that Pastor John has here today, that you bless it. And Lord, that as he distributes it, Lord, that it grows and it fills our heart and it fills our spirit and it nourishes us. Father, we lift him up right now. We ask the Spirit of God just to move through him and upon him and to each one of us, Lord, not just this vessel here, but Lord, that you would use him to motivate us for this upcoming week. We give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
When we're working on a project and we're setting goals for our home or our ministry, our work, our business, and especially our personal life, sometimes we need to step back and, you know, sort of take stock and see where we are and what do we really want to see accomplished? What's important? What is actually necessary? What is essential? What can we absolutely not do without? What do we have to have? It can be hard sometimes to determine what we really need if we don't have the facts, if we don't know the reality or the truth of any given situation. But if we do understand and we do know the truth, there is one thing that I think all of us here could agree on, and that is that there's absolutely nothing more important for our life, to make our life successful, than to know God, our Creator, to really know Him. Knowing God, knowing who He is, what He's like, what He expects from us, getting to know Him personally is the most important thing you will ever do in your life. That's why Jesus came here. That's why He died. That's why He died for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so we could be reunited or united with our Father, and so we could truly get to know Him in all His glory and all His majesty. Just before Jesus went to the cross, He prayed for us. He said in John 17:1, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you've given him." That's us. We're the ones that got this eternal life. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." There's only one. There can be only one. The Apostle Paul also prays for believers. In Ephesians 1:7, he says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better." God wants us to realize that there's nothing more important than for us to get to know Him. He alone is the answer to this longing that we have in our heart, that we try to fill with so many other things. Things that promise the world, but never seem to deliver. Because they can't. Because this world belongs to God. This world and everything in it belongs to God. And that's why He tells us to seek Him first, because He owns it all. So if we seek Him first, He's the giver of every good gift. And when we seek Him and find Him and get to know Him, then He will bless us as we follow after Him. And we put Him first before all these things. Then He will give us all these things. Just a moment ago, I read the first couple of verses from that prayer in John 17, where Jesus prayed for us. And just as He was about to start his journey to the cross, to die for us. But a little bit later, down in that prayer, down in verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth." What Jesus is asking the Father is that we would be sanctified, changed, made holy, set apart, walking in his truth. 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4 said, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men and women, to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." We have to have this knowledge of the truth so we can walk in it. This is what God wants us to realize, and this is what I want to speak about today, that knowing God enables us to walk in the truth. John 4:24 tells us that God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. We just spend time in worship. God doesn't want phony worship. He doesn't want us to worship something we don't know. He wants us to worship in truth, by the Spirit and in truth. We can't worship God unless we understand and unless we're walking in that truth. Because He is the truth. He's what we're worshiping, God of heaven, the God of truth. The Apostle John, the one who was closest to the heart of Jesus, he wrote in 3 John 1:3 and 4, "It gives me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Don't we love it when we hear about our own children? Somebody comes up to us and they say, "I saw your kids the other day. Man, you should have seen them. You'd have been proud of them. They were doing this and they were doing that. And man, they really did good." Or the teacher says, "Oh, your child is a blessing." Or, you know, a friend comes around and says, "Oh, man, I love your kids. I love just having them in my class." Or, you know, "Your child, boy, he's a good worker. I'm really glad we hired him." I mean, don't you like hearing good things about your kids like that? They're walking in the things that we've trained them up in. They're walking, they're living their life the right way, according to how we taught them and according to the Word of God. Well, we bring joy to God ourselves, to our Heavenly Father, when He sees us, His children, walking according to His truth, to His way. Knowing God, drawing near to Him, walking in His will along the path of righteousness, the path of life, when we truly know Him in that way, that will enable us to walk in His truth. And that's what we want. How many times have we seen and heard about people who have fallen for some lie, some deception, some fantasy that turned them away from God, away from the truth of God, God's Word? They're running after something that is not God's will. And they get hurt, and they hurt others. Sometimes it's people we know. Sometimes it's even people we've been very close to. Romans 1:25 tells us they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. I don't think many people want to willingly follow a lie. I sure wouldn't want to follow a lie. Would you want to live for a lie? Spend all your money, time, resources, energy, love on a lie? Does anybody here wants to do that? No, I don't think anybody would. But what happens is sometimes we don't understand the truth. And so we're deceived, just as Adam and Eve were deceived. Do you think if the devil would have came to them and said, "I'm going to lie to you, would you like to follow a lie and go against God?" They would have said no. But he deceived them and they followed the lie. He twisted up their thinking to get them so they found out they didn't really know the truth. They weren't sure what God said to them anymore. They weren't sure of God's word. They didn't know the truth. And then, because of that, they weren't walking in the truth. They walked in the lie away from God and were cut off. We see and know the truth when we're close to God. When we know Him and we know His Word, the Word of Truth. Our whole universe, this universe that we live in, this world that we live in, is based on His truth. The creation was made in truth and continues to this day in truth. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It's not going to change. The seasons follow one after another. That's not going to change. The tide goes out and the tide comes back in. That's not going to change. The sun will heat the earth and cause the plants to grow. We plant a seed, up comes the crop. That's not going to change. Light travels at a certain speed. That's not going to change. We drop something, it falls. That's gravity. It's not going to change. These are truths. They're the laws of the universe that God has made. He made this universe based upon His truths. Our job is to discover the truth. I remember when I was a kid, they would never do this anymore, but my science class, the book said Understanding God's World. That's what science used to be about. Now it's about proving global warming. That's a big fallacy. Around these truths, humanity built societies, cultures, civilizations, industries. We built amazing things because we understood this truth. We built things like cars and boats and planes. We sailed the oceans. We've flown to the moon. We've gone, sent ships to other planets. We've invented millions of products. All because we followed principles of truth. And we're able to build upon that, brick upon brick. Those are the laws of God's universe, and we worked within those laws, and because we worked within those laws, we were able to build and build and build. But now what about us? What about people? Isn't it just as important to build our lives according to God's truth as well? The same God who made the earth, who created the universe, made us. He made our eyes to respond to light, the light that He made. He made our ears to respond to sound, our nose to respond to smell, our skin to touch. He made our heart and our mind to respond to the truth. That's why in 1 Timothy 2:4, God tells us that God wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. He made the vehicle, the receptacle, the vehicle to receive. He put that in us, our mind and our heart, to receive His truth. When He created us, He made us that way. He expects it. We may not have knowledge of science or math or physics or music or electronics or a million other things. And you know what? We probably won't suffer all that much because we don't know those things. But if we are without knowledge of God's truth, His eternal, essential, all-encompassing truth, we will suffer. We'll suffer in the here and now, and most certainly we will suffer in eternity. So what is this truth? Pilate asked that question as though it couldn't be answered. Wise men and philosophers have pondered that question down through the ages. But here's the secret. Only someone who knows God gets to know the truth. You cannot understand the true nature of things apart from God, because God is truth. It's His truth. How can we know truth apart from truth? We can't. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It is God Himself who has put this desire for truth inside of our heart. And it's God who reveals and communicates this truth to us. I mean, we can learn facts all day long. But you may have heard and you may know that facts aren't necessarily truth. Facts are facts. Joe Friday gets the facts every day. Sergeant Friday in Dragnet. But that doesn't mean he knows the truth. It's God who reveals and communicates His truth to us. John 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." God has given us His Holy Spirit to reveal His truth. He's God. The Spirit of God is the messenger of truth. He's the giver of this truth. He's the one who reveals it to us. He's God's agent. And the most important tool that the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. Also known as the Word of Truth. This truth is not something we get hold of by our vast intellectual prowess or power. It doesn't come from prestigious colleges or degrees or all the little letters after our name. We can't buy this truth. The truth is a gift from God. It's a gift. A blessing from God. It's a treasure from God to be guarded. God has given us this truth so that we can know Him and become like Him. That's what sanctification is. Changing, becoming more and more like the image of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 17:17. "Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth." In Jesus, what we saw was truth personified. The truth in living flesh, living color. Jesus was the living truth. Truth walking the earth. He said it. John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life that comes with the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me." He was the exact replica of the Father. Jesus was. Except He was in a human body. Colossians 2:4-9, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The truth in the flesh. It's amazing when you think about it. God is such a great giver of examples. We make up all these stories, these analogies, all these, you know, we tell these little stories to try to show something. Well, God wanted to explain truth to us, so He sent His Son to this earth so we could see truth in the flesh. How amazing is that? The next thing we have to do is make this truth our own. To make this truth our own means that it has to line up, you know, this the word, the truth, has to line up with our actions, I should say, have to line up with that truth. in tandem, moving in tandem with the truth. What good is it for us to know the truth if we don't walk in it? It does no good. Sometimes we fool ourselves. And sometimes we're deceived into believing that just because we hear something and we mentally agree with it, that we're walking in it. But if we hear God's truth and we don't act on it, if we don't change, if it doesn't do something in us and make change come about, if we just let it come in one ear and out the other, we're not walking in the truth. We're just agreeing that it sounds nice and it doesn't do us any good. And in fact, we then are walking in unbelief. Eventually, what happens when we live like that is that hardness starts to set into our heart. Sort of like a hardening of the arteries when we don't take care of our physical body. Pretty soon, we start to think that everybody's a phony. They're all just hypocrites. And even God's a phony. God doesn't come through on things. When the reality is that we're the one who's the phony if we're not walking in the truth that we heard. We're the phony when we hear the truth and we don't do anything about it. When we just hear it and say, I agree, and then go on our merry way, we're a phony. Have you ever been given a job and agreed to do that job and then just totally goofed off and not done it? And then eventually the boss comes back around, or whoever it is that told you to do it, they come back around and they're upset. They go after you and really you have no excuse. You just sort of have to stand there and take it, feeling ashamed. It's not a very fun place to be. Do we want to do this to God? Where the consequences could be so much greater? If we have the truth, we need to take it seriously and act upon it accordingly so that we can follow what it tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. That's God's word. We're supposed to correctly handle that truth. God wants us to use his word of truth like a surgeon would use a scalpel, and like he would cut it exactly the right way. Somebody's cutting into me, I don't want big jagged lines and big huge cuts for some little thing. Do you? I want him to do it with precision. Imagine if you had a doctor that could look at you and see inside your body and see the function of every system. Could see everything moving and functioning, your blood flowing, your vessels, all the cells moving, doing, you know, everything that they're supposed to be doing. And he could look in there and see exactly what needs to be done to cure you. Wouldn't that be great? Man, that'd be better than Star Trek. Well, God is the great physician. And he doesn't need x-ray machines. He doesn't need MRIs. He doesn't need blood tests or anything else. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God sees into every area of our life. And he can tell by looking into our life every single part that does not line up with his word of truth. Those are the areas that are sick and need to be healed. We call it sin. We could just as well call it sickness. Sometimes we just get comfortable with the way things are, and it just seems like too much trouble to get better. Too much trouble to deal with that sin. We just don't want to go through the pain and the inconvenience of changing. I remember once I needed a crown done. I put it off for months because I just kept not getting around to making the appointment. I knew it was going to take a day. I was going to have to sit there in the office and get it done, and he's going to be working on my mouth, and I hate getting those all that numbness in there, you know, that lasts for hours, and then you have to get a fake crown put on top for a couple weeks, then you got to go back, and it's like, oh man, I don't want to go through all this. So I kept putting it off for months. The only problem was the pain just kept getting worse and worse. Eventually, I decided, all right, I got to get this done. This is killing me. Taking Motrin all day, every day wasn't working. Flossing wasn't working. Brushing wasn't working. Hydrogen peroxide, nothing was working. All these phony healings as if things that we try to use to cover our sin. So I finally made an appointment. Unfortunately, I couldn't get in right away. And I had to wait even more. Thankfully, God's appointment book is never full. He's always open, always ready to receive us. And we don't have to wait. We don't have to go through all that worry and all that drudgery and all that fear. He just says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Come to me, you who are sick, you who are sin, and I will be faithful to forgive you your sin. Sometimes we just lose focus. And we get overly concerned with the things of this world, and we take our eyes off of the eternal. We're looking at this current, what seems to be reality, when in reality, this is what's passing and fading. And the real truth, the reality is what's eternal. So we need to refocus on God and His truth. Did you ever think about the amazing focal ability of our eyes? You know, if you're standing in front of a window that has a screen on it, and you focus on the screen, that screen can block your view. But as soon as you change your focus to something across the street, the screen disappears. Isn't that amazing? That is awesome. That is just, it's mind-boggling that our eyes can work like that. So I was thinking about that, and then I was thinking about how it said, when Jesus himself faced the shame of the cross, what was right there before him, all that pain and suffering, the shame of the cross, you know, you die on the cross because you're a criminal and all that kind of stuff, taking all that sin on him. But you know how he was able to endure that? It said that he set his eyes on the joy before him. He looked out past the cross into the future. And he saw the joy that was before him. And you know what that joy was? It was you. Yeah. His joy was you. Saved. You redeemed. You rescued. You bought and purchased through His blood. And I include me in that. All of us. He focused on what He knew to be true. When we are facing the struggles in this life, the hurts and the sorrows, the pain, the discouragement, we need to look ahead, focus ahead on what is true and not on the screen in front of us, not on the pain in front of us, not on the hard times in front of us, not on dealing with the crown, not on dealing with the flesh, not on dealing with all this garbage in front of us. We need to remember the reality of what is to come. our inheritance that is stored up in heaven for us. The place that God has built for us. The time when there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more weeping or wailing. No more pain and sorrow. No more suffering, only eternal joy. Right hand, at His right hand will be pleasures forevermore. We won't even need the sun because the light will be flowing from Him. Everything we could ever have wanted, anything and everything that will bring us fulfillment, satisfaction, joy, and pleasure. We talk about pleasure in this world, and all of a sudden we start thinking of evil sexual connotations. But you know what? In heaven, God's about pleasure. He wants His people to be at His right hand and enjoying pleasures forevermore. Holy, godly pleasure. Just because the devil perverts things here on this earth, that doesn't mean we can't think about the pleasure that God has for us in heaven. We live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Our light and momentary troubles. You know what? I don't care what you're going through. It doesn't matter if it's pain, physical pain. It doesn't matter if it's emotional pain. It doesn't matter if it's financial pain. It doesn't matter if it's relationship pain. All those things, when you put it in the perspective of eternity, immediately become light and momentary compared to the alternative, which is burning in hell forever. Now that's pain. That is pain. I don't want anything to do with that pain. I'll take these light and momentary troubles any day and deal with them, give it over to God, and keep my focus on Him. That's what we want to do. We can't trust our feelings, our emotions, but we can trust our God if we know His truth. James 1:22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." That's listening to God's word and letting it go in and right out. That's what it's talking about. "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." God's truth gives us freedom. Freedom and blessing. John 8:32 tells us that the truth will set us free. Galatians 5:1 said, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Knowing God enables you to walk in the truth. Walking in the truth will set you free. Free to live a life of blessing. Of blessing. Free to live a life of blessing that God destined for you from the very beginning. If you know God, you don't have to be a slave anymore to the lusts and the passions of the flesh, to the carnal desires that have been the downfall of so many people. They still come after us. They still tempt us. They're still there. They're still real. But we don't have to be a slave to them anymore when we stand and walk in the truth. Those who know God and walk in His truth are destined for a life of freedom and victory. It's ours. It's there for the taking. We just have to step forward and receive. Believe and receive. It's for the taking. God wants to set you free. Free from anxiety, from worry, from fear, from doubt. He wants to set you free from evil passions and lusts, free from demonic influence, free from insecurity and guilt, discouragement, disillusionment, free from the weariness of trying to do it all yourself. He wants to set you free from being ruled by your emotions. Free from condemnation and death. God wants to set you free to walk in His blessing. To walk in His power. To walk in His victory. To walk under His anointing. To walk under inside and with His Holy Spirit. To be led by His Spirit. That's why He came here, to give us all this. As we get to know God, this becomes our reality. Prayer team, if you could come on forward. I want to encourage you to keep going after God, to press in, to get to know Him, to do whatever it takes so that you can have what God has for you. You see, God's already prepared it. He set a table for you. He set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. All these things are coming against you. They are. They do. They will. Things will continue to come against you. But in the presence of those enemies, God has set a table for you. A table of power, victory, success, love. A table that is filled with truth and blessing. We can enjoy what we have at our table. We can sit down with Him and join Him and eat with Him. Jesus knocks at the door. He wants to come in and eat with us. Or we can go out and look around for other things to fill this longing in our heart. The very things that are out there just waiting to destroy us. Waiting for us to take our eyes off of what God has for us. Looking for that lonely little lamb that's separated from the herd. Don't be that one. Stay. Stay with the body. Stay with God. Seek Him. Know Him. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much. We thank You that Your desire is that we would get to know You. And that You want us to know Your truth. We thank You that You have decided, You have destined us to be set free, to be able to walk in Your blessing and to walk in Your truth. Lord, I pray for every person here today and for those hearing this message that we would receive Your truth into our hearts, that we would believe on this truth in our hearts, and that we would walk in this truth in our lives. That we would become one with Your truth and bring it to completion. that we would be sanctified by your truth, that we would be changed from glory to glory and become more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for all things. Lord, I pray that your anointing right now would be upon those here on the prayer team, that you would anoint their hands as they pray, as they stand here for you and you're in the gap. And Lord, that as each one comes up, that they would receive blessing from you. Bless this time, Lord God. Bless our fellowship afterwards. Bless each one as we go out this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Look to me.